on one specific issue. We wrote to get into that issue. I wanted to review something that we did, more or less, in Perek Yud last week. And perhaps to just first to speak of the Darkei HaShracha that we've already spoken about, that led to Shaul becoming Melech, and that we've spoken about both in terms of chiastic structure and the like. I found among one of the Gedolei HaParshanim, the Radak, who says something which is, I would say, very out of character for him. The Radak, and then subsequently I found in the Kleyokar, which is a classic Perush HaTorah, also has reference to this Radak and really amplifies it at great length. If you recall, in the last number of weeks, we have been discussing what seems to be many psukim that are seemingly out of context, and psukim that clearly have no direct connection to the fact that Shaul is about to be appointed king, and we have a rather trite and cliched kind of story with the Atonot, and enormous amount of time is spent on discussing this particular event, and essentially what the Radak and the Klei Akar, I mentioned this with the Elshach, but the Klei Akar is very Marech Hidarko. The Klei Akar happens to have a parish on Tanakh. We're primarily familiar with this parish al Torah. There's a parish on Tanakh. What happened was I accidentally came across it in the Gush Kolel. I was looking for something else and all of a sudden chanced upon the Klei Akar and Tanakh. I found it to be of interest and I essentially sat here for the next 3.5 hours. Also forgot I had a shiur and was busy with the Klei Akar. The only problem was my Talmidim, nothing seemed to disturb them. I didn't say shiur, that was even more disturbing. At least one would remind me that I had a shiur. I was asuk in the Klei Akar for about 3.5 hours. He has the following comment, and it's incredible because almost he interprets this chapter. The Radak already, I believe, revealed the secret, but does not say it as elaborately and dramatically as the Klei Akar. He talks about the notion of Siva u'Mesovev. He's spoken about it a number of times, cause and effect. In general, when you read Tanakh, if you read the flow of the text, you generally tend to know what the cause of the event is and what the effect is. It seems to be fairly straightforward. But Chazal apparently never saw it the way the average reader would see it. And I gave one example, which is a classic case, example, namely the beginning of Parshat Miketz. There, the Torah uses language which both the Midrash and Chazal were very sensitive to. Namely, the beginning of Miketz in Bereshit, by Yim Miketz Shnafayim Yim, Uparo Choleim, Yinei Yomei Aleor. There are many such examples, but I'm just using this one because it's, I think, very characteristic, and already the Midrash picks up on it. Firstly, Chazal are concerned by the language of Miketz. Why is that specific term used? As opposed to Vayihi B'sof Shnatayim Yamim, Vayihi B'siyum Shnatayim Yamim, Vayihi B'chlot Shnatayim Yamim, just trying to give you other possibilities. The term Miketz in Tanakh generally refers to the end of an era, the end of an epoch. And you have, for example, in Parshat Bo, and other such examples abound throughout Tanakh Miketz Sot Tkufa. So here apparently there's some remez to the end of Tkufa, but we don't understand the Chalal. Why is this the end of Tkufa? The Torah in the end of Parshat Vayeshev reports the birthday party that Paro had, and the Sar Mashkim restored to his post, and the Sarah of Fig is removed, and below Zachar Sarah Mashkim et Yosef Eishkachev. And we add to this, Vayi Miketz Shnatayim Yamim, Ufaro Cholek, Vineo Ben Oyor. Now we don't understand, as I said, what exactly is this Tkufa? What new Tkufa is being heralded, is being discussed? And somehow, the Midrash comments on that word, and the Midrash is also concerned by another verb, Ufaro Cholek. Why the use of the present tense? The dream of Paro, as it should have said either Paro Chalam, past tense, and then the Torah actually records the dream. Paro Chalam implies somehow the present tense, use of the present tense. That's an ongoing kind of affair, which does not seem to be the case. And furthermore, Chalam implies that Paro is a dreamer. Both in Chalam, we're not familiar with Paro, with this particular predilection of Paro as a dreamer. Heretofore, we have not encountered that particular aspect of Paro. So the Midrash quotes the pasuk in Iyov, right over here in this pasuk in Midrash Rabbah, beginning of Miketz, and the pasuk says, "Ketz sama choshech ulechol tachlitu choker." That's the language of the pasuk in Iyov, that an end came to the darkness, and Hashem is choker kol tachlit. So the Midrash goes on to say the following: Kevan shehigia, since the time had come for Yosef's incarceration to be ended, says the Midrash, Paro chole. In other words, we generally assume that what is the cause here? The cause of this entire parsha, the beginning of the parsha of Shavua, in any case, is the fact that Paro had a dream, was clearly perturbed by it, as the Torah describes a bit later. And as a result of that dream, and the fact that Paro was obviously unnerved by it, so Yosef comes to his attention, because there's an effort on the part of Paro to interpret the dreams. Those efforts are stymied, those efforts are frustrated. And then subsequently, the Tsar HaMashkim appears on the scene, by Daber Tsar HaMashkim Paro Lemor Chatayim Maskir Hayom, and he reviews the incident that occurred with him while he was in prison, and the chalom that he had, and of course, Yosef's ability to interpret that chalom. As a result, Yosef comes to the fore. No, the cause here of Yosef emerging was the dream that Paro had. And the effect is Yosef's interpretation of the dream, and ultimately Yosef becoming the Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim, ascending to a position of power, second in command. Says the Midrash, and say the Parshat Mikra, literally, the very opposite is true. That's not at all what happened, and that's not what occurred. What occurred really was that the time for Yosef's incarceration had ended, and therefore, there was an inyan for Hashem to put into action the plan of action that would, shall we say, expedite the release of Yosef from prison. And therefore, what did Hashem do? Hashem decided to, shall we say, transform Paro into a dreamer. By he became shnatan nevimu Paro choleim, Paro becomes a dreamer. V'inei omen alayor. And again, the case is, as I said earlier, the end of the tkufa. Which tkufa? The tkufa that Yosef is in the kelah, that Yosef is in prison. That's how the Midrash and also Parshat Mikra interpret the Psukim in this kind of fashion. As we have here a cause, we have an effect, but it's not the cause and effect that we would, shall we say, anyone who would read the text would certainly not come to that conclusion. But the Piyah Midrash, that's exactly what the Pasuk says at Iyot. Kei Sama Choshech Ulechol Tachlitu Choker. Hashem is essentially behind the entire scenario that is taking place here, and he's the one who's directing traffic, who's orchestrating not only the dream of Paro, but all the subsequent events that, in effect, unfold in the Psukim following. In a similar vein, comments to Klei Atar with reference to the Pasha that we read last week, Perek Yud. If you remember again, somehow on a weekly basis, we always have to review what happened. At least I do. You probably got good memories, so you undoubtedly remember as an instant recall. But here, in the Psukim, starting from Perek Tet, after Shmuel is told by Hashem that a king is going to be appointed, we begin the story of Shaul, which, as I said, at the very outset, does not seem to have any connection with the previous Pakim. You don't understand the Chalal, almost as if we have introduced the Perek that has no connection with anything. And the Perek, as I said, that's rather pedantic, and even, I would say, hackneyed and trite and cliched in terms of the storyline, because we have a lineage of Shaul HaMelech. We don't understand why suddenly Vayigish Mibin Yamein, almost as if we forgot what is happening. We're talking about Malchut and the probability of someone becoming Melech, and suddenly we have an aside, and we have what seems to be an excursus that is clearly not related to the subject at hand, and we have a description of Shaul and the fact that the donkeys were lost, and the search begins, and then the entire Odyssey. And in the course of the Odyssey, we have many, as I said, dramatic personae who appear in the scene. Many of them, we don't fully understand what their role is. And then we have a very dramatic kind of story with Na'arot, with the Tabach, with the state dinner, almost having no connection whatsoever to the Parsha at hand. Seemingly, no connection. But what emerges from it is that somehow Shaul meets Shmuel and becomes Melech and is anointed by Shmuel as Melech. Shachacha, Hashem, Anachlazol, Magid. Yes, last week we spoke about the term Magid, the fact that the word Melech is not mentioned directly in the Parsha. We discussed a number of Rishonim, Ramban, the Ram, who comment on this and why the Apostle Yisrael Barichim, Lo Yisrael Shem Yehuda, Mechokek Ben Magla. That's something else to say about that this evening. And then we have three otot that are given, that's found in starting in Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Bet, where the three signs are going to be given to Shaul. Again, we ask as well why the necessity for those signs. Somehow Shaul is not convinced that this position that he's now been, that he's ascended to, is real, almost like Mahabdul. Pinch me, please. Is it the real thing? And constantly, of course, he displays an incredible degree of anavah that I want to talk about. Anavah that ultimately really became his Achilles heel, was probably responsible for his downfall, especially some of the position of Melech. But all of this is really amazing. We're talking about almost two prokim devoted to what seems to be, even though perhaps one might contend that the story is quite fascinating and interesting, and certainly is, comes to Kli Atar and essentially says, we are making a mistake here as far as Siba and Mesodev. The same mistake that we made in Pasha Mikes, we're making here as well. Namely, what is the cause? So again, the cause is we have a gentleman who one day lost the donkeys, decided to look for them, and wow, lo and behold, there's a period of time he meets a Navi, and the Navi says, you look like a fine fellow, and then we should point you as king. Maybe you should be the Melech. That is the Mesodev, that seems to be the effect of the cause, which of course is now the lost donkeys. Of course, the Kleinakar points out, and it's very obvious to us, especially given the chiastic structure, which you're not fond of, but Lom Shaneh, that just proves the whole idea. Namely, he said the following. He writes, Shachadosh Baruch Hu Asakein V'chavanat HaMechavein SheYerdu LaAtonot. Means essentially here, what was the cause? The cause was Shaul had become king. It was Higi Azman that Shaul would replace Shmuel HaNavi as Mandig Yisrael, as Melech Yisrael, and Hashem had to go about and bring that to fruition. What did he do? The donkeys of Shaul HaMelech, of his father, were lost. Kidei Sheavo Shaul Shmuel, and the Koyal goes on to be very marach over here, Lord, that Shaul should ultimately come to Shmuel, V'shiyeh B'yato Elav, B'yato Olech, B'mitzad Kibud Ava'ein. It appears like a regular classic Kibud Ava'ein story. He has to carry out the directive of his father, and he says, Heichino Ta Mitzvah Azot, Liyot Ra'ui, La'atid L'kabel HaTorah HaMochlut. All this was simply in order to pave the way for Shaul to become Melech. And why was all this necessary? Why was this entire Sibah Mesodev necessary? Said the Kli Yakar. Why did Hashem have to direct traffic in such a circuitous kind of fashion? And he presents the following thesis, which I also believe is unquestionably correct, and this is what I was going to talk about. Luckily I found it yesterday. Then I discovered, by the way, the same belongs to a private individual, Leloy Adati. But anyway, the fi shehaya Shaul anav mikol adam. The problem was how Hashem was going to overcome the anava of Shaul HaMelech, the unbelievable humility and modesty, and that's of course something that Hashem would talk about, but Hashem had to somehow work around that, and therefore he writes, I'm skipping now 20 lines, the katam et ha'atonot le'rabot et ha'mochot. So this entire story, as it were, this entire scenario was created in order to somehow maneuver and manipulate Shaul until ultimately become Melech. By the way, I think I mentioned, I quoted in Zirach many Midrashim, to Sheikh Hazal, a lot of them, that the entire, not only the Chippus on the part of Shaul HaMelech, I'll read you another Chazal I found in Tosefta, Masechet Brachot, and this is also very Midrash and the Psukim, and I think I mentioned this already, but it's kedai to see this as well. If you remember, Shaul and the Nar. I spoke about the Nar several weeks ago. But this Nar is really, again, the more I think about it, I'm convinced this is correct. This Nar plays a rather aggressive kind of role. Most of the Narim Tanakh are, I would say, submissive and probably relatively passive. I'm talking about the Nar that accompanies Avraham Avinu, Bechulu, often major personalities in Tanakh are accompanied by Narim, Shamashim, if you will, Gabaim. It's true that in Hasidic circles, sometimes the Gabaim seem to be rather, shall we say, aggressive personalities. But I understand why they have to be aggressive in order to direct traffic, in order to orchestrate the Admorah's schedule and the like. But here it's very unusual in Tanakh to find a Nar, but what I find to be amazing, and I'm sure I mentioned it, if you take a look, that when Shaul, in Pasuk, let's start in Peretet Pasuk, hey, for a moment. Hema bo b'yaret suf, v'sha'ul amal l'naro ha'shemo, l'chav n'ashuva. Pen yechdal adim in ha'atonot. And then he writes, v'da'ag lan. That's a v'da'ag lan. That troubled me the whole week. V'da'ag lan. First of all, Shaul, again, we can assume that his father would be concerned about Shaul Anoach, about his son. I'm not sure he would have the same kind of concern for the Nar. What exactly is the role that this Nar is playing? He's such a aristocrat in the family of Shaul Anoach. I'm sorry? He's an employee, correct. So I think the same Daga that the father has for Shaul, I can't imagine he has for the Nar. Anyway, I found in Chazal a Tosefta. That the Tosefta apparently was omitted on this word, and the reason why I say it, because if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember where it is now, I think it's very good. Take a look when the Shmuel anoint Shaul, Pasuk Bet. Very good, Pasuk Bet. Balatzecha yomi imadi, he tells Shaul, Matzah v'shnei avashim v'kurat v'achel v'kul v'nemi v'tzaltzach, yomru l'edecha v'nitzu ha'tonot asher alaf v'bakesh, v'inein atash aviha d'rei ha'tonot, v'da'ad lachem le'mor, mo'esel v'nei. Where is this v'da'ad lano? As opposed to v'da'ad lachem, I'm just indicating a Tosefta. I read the following Tosefta. It says, Shaul lo zachal malchut, Tosefta bracha, paragdala. Shaul lo zachal malchut el v'nei ha'anaga. Because of his humility. Sh'nemar pen yechdal avim in ha'atonot, v'da'ad lano, says the Tosefta, shakal avdo kamoa. He saw himself as being on the same plane as the Eved. The Tosefta calls him an Eved. Here he describes as a Nar. Tosefta sees him as an Eved. And the Tosefta goes on to say, Abu Shmuel, and okay, Shmuel did not describe things in a similar fashion. Ella, he quotes the Pasuk that I just read to you, Natasha Vicha Dibeh Atanot, Bidalag Lachem Neymar, Moeseh Libni. Moeseh Libni. The concern is clearly for Shaul. It serves not for the Nar. And this is an example of the Anava, and this Tosefta tells us that the reason why he was Zocha the Malchut, because Dafka b'nei Anava, because of this type of Anava that he displayed. Now, going on that Anava, just look for the Tzukim and we'll see, literally, one after the next, that one sees this quality of Anava, Eitzel Shavu Lamelach. And it already begins from the very outset, from his very initial appearance. Firstly, the kibbutz of the aim that Shaul displayed the yad, and his father asked him to take one of the narim, the kublech akesh ta'atonot. Subsequently, we mentioned the Tosefta just now with the aglan. Now continuing, the nar in pasuk this peretet, pasuk vav, vayom elohi neina ish elokim. First, Shaul wants to go back, and the nar somehow has an equal say, the ability to express his opinion very openly. And Shaul apparently responds affirmatively, the Naro. Of course, he's just concerned about what are we going to bring Lisha Elokim. Eze Tshuva, Maritam. By the way, notice constantly, Lishon Rabbi. Constantly, he places himself on equal footing with the Nar. And this is a number of times found in these two kin, which according to the Tosefta Glycosio is a it's really a reflection of the humility of Shaul HaMelech. We continue in this ongoing dialogue, and you see that the Nar is on equal footing. Because he has what to say, Shaul responds, the Nar responds to Shaul, as in Pasuk Chet. He named in Tzavi Ani Veva Shekel Keset, V'natati Li Shalokim, V'higin Lano and Darkeno. You say that. It's Lano and Darkeno, and as I said, they're on the same footing. Here, and Shaul has no difficulty with that. And then we have the what seems to be an interlude, and Shaul finally agrees in Pasuk Yud, Tom Vachal Hamelecha, Chula Ir, Asher Shav Yishalakim. And then we have the story of the Na'arot and the entire discussion that we had with reference to the Na'arot that we mentioned already a number of times. But I just refer you to the Chazal, also the Gemara Bracha, the third opinion, without getting into the first two opinions again. But the third opinion, Chazal say, why this lengthy discussion on the part of the Na'arot, was the question that's posed to them, is basically consisting of three words, namely Hayesh Bazeh HaRo'eh, and then we have a rather lengthy response, the Na'arot expatiating at great length, and Chazal again comes with more brachot, say, Rav Yochanan Amar, Lefi Shein Malchut Nogat V'Chavrita Afilu K'mon Nima. Somehow, there's no possibility of Shaul becoming Melech till the moment, the exact, precise moment has arrived. By the way, this fits exactly with what I said earlier, by Yidikech Shnatayim Yamin. Exactly, at the moment, Yidikech Shnatayim. Rashi comments, if you remember Pasha Bo, Yidikech Shloshim Shana V'Ava Meyot Shana, Vayi Be'etzim Ayom Azeh Yotzu Kol Tzibot Hashem Erat Mitzvayim, says Rashi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he came to Am Yisrael being redeemed from Mitzvayim, Hashem was not Mashiach Afilu K'rag HaKat. Even one second, this exact moment, synchronized down to the very second, that Am Yisrael was supposed to be released from Mitzvayim, at that moment they were released. I believe that's what Chazal was saying here as well. Ein Malchut Nogad B'Chavrita Afilu K'mon Nima, especially in light of the Koya Kar that I mentioned earlier, Sibah Mesodeh, cause and effect, the moment that Shaul was supposed to emerge as king, that's the moment he's going to be king, and therefore, at this point, apparently, the point, it had not yet come. And as a result, there was a need for delaying tactics, if you will. And those are the delaying tactics that I found here in the expatiated peroration of the Na'arot that's mentioned over here in the text. And this is found, borne out by Chazal, that Ein Malchut Nogad B'Chavrita Afilu K'mon Nima.
There was no Chavrita.
I'm sorry?
There was no Chavrita.
Yeah, there was. Shmuel Anovi. Shmuel Anovi was the Chavrita. He was the Manik Yisrael. He didn't have a Dinah per se, but certainly he was a Novi. And as in that role, he was the Manik. And that's the Gia, that's the he couldn't be any overlapping even for a second, even for a moment. Even though, again, the text is, that does not seem to be the case. We're going to discuss that with the other, but I'll talk about it in a second. But that's the Chavrita, the Pashtut. Anyway, he continues. Shmuel then greets them, and then we have the Pasuk Hashem Gala et Ozen Shmuel. Hashem actually tells Shmuel, Yom Echad Devo Shaul Emot. By the way, I want to now stress, even though we asked this question already twice, on two different occasions, how is it possible that when Shaul meets Shmuel, and that's in these two kids, Tetzayim, Yitzayim, Yitzchet, Zeyatzor Ba'ami, discussed that last week, and Pasuk Yitzchet as well, when Shaul chances upon Shmuel, it's obviously not a chance meeting, a chance encounter, but it's a very mechuvan encounter, and says, Agina lo yezad betorah. And I ask, again, Parshim, I saw, I'm very concerned about this problem, how is it possible that Shaul did not know who Shmuel Anami was? Especially in light of the fact that we have spoken earlier, namely, we mentioned them a number of times, that indicate, in the end of Parag Zion, I think it was, where Shmuel is someone Shmuel is someone, he had the end of Parag Zion, V'halach midei shana v'shana v'sava v'itel v'amidbal v'amitzvah v'shabat Yisrael, Eichal m'kavot Eilam. Chazal speak about the fact that he was on the circuit all the time. He was a Novi, he was constantly on the move, and he was involved in literally very close interaction everywhere. And apparently, he was well known, according to Yushalm, I saw Yushalm Chagiga, that he was known by all Kalam Yisrael as Rabban Shekhon Amin, Yushalm Chagiga. And therefore, the question is, how is it possible that Shaul HaMelech, the Chalal did not know who he was talking to? Everyone else did except for Shaul. And this again is an indication, I think, of the unbelievable Anava and Tzniut of Shaul HaMelech. This is perhaps a high indication of that humility and modesty. It could very well be that even when everyone went to greet Shmuel HaNavi in all of his rounds that he was making, Shaul HaMelech niyeh b'asen b'dala mutah. He simply did not emerge. I don't have any direct proof for this hasharah, but it's hasharah on my part. I've been thinking about it for 3 weeks. It's disturbing me. And therefore, that's the reason why he did not recognize Shmuel HaNavi. And at that moment, in Pasuk Yutet, Vayam Shmuel HaShavu Vayomer Anofi Ro'eh, Halei Lefanei Abamah V'achalti Yomi Ayom Shirati Vavoker V'chol Shavu V'cha Agid Lach. He tells him that the donkeys were found, and then he sort of, by the way, will the Vikoch and Dat Yisrael? which Mufashim interpret, he was telling him about Malchut. And right away, the reaction of Shaul is Ge'ilu lo shama. What's very interesting also, that Shmuel does not outright tell him you're going to be Melech. He actually tells him Birimiza. Which, by the way, could be subject to another interpretation. There are even different interpretations among the Pashanei HaMidrash. But Rav Lubav interpreted that passage as referring to Malchut. Why did Shmuel present the Malchut in such a fashion? The focus of his comment to Shaul is regarding the donkeys. And there is Hadar, by the way, I just want to tell you, but why did he present it in such a cryptic fashion? He should have done it in a more direct fashion, more openly, more frontally. And again, it would seem to me that this is knowing full well the nature of Shaul HaMelech, knowing his character, and knowing his unbelievable unpretentiousness and modesty and extraordinary ability. So apparently Shmuel was perhaps even frightened that to present it in the frontal kind of way, who knows what the impact would be. And therefore, Ulubiko Chadat Yisrael. And the reaction of Shaul, which of course he apparently understood, or at least had some partial understanding for sure, Halo ben Yeminiyo nochi, mitane shitei Yisrael, u'mishpachti atzivah. Again, he says, anava, mitoch anava, mitoch anava. Number one, that I am from Binyamin. Mitane shitei Yisrael. And even, mitoch Binyamin. Mishpachti atzivah, mikol mishpachot shitei Binyamin. So clearly there is, as I said, anava, mitoch anava. So lama divarte like a levaze. How could you speak to me in such a fashion? I'm not ani lo ilukach, ani lo adu. I'm not worthy of being a melech of the heights that you are speaking about. And then we have, of course, the state dinner, which Shmuel hosts on behalf of Shaul, and we have this tabach that we spoke about. And by the way, as I said, the only time in Tanakh that I recall such a persona with all the gastronomic delights that are inherent is here. I don't think there's anywhere else in Tanakh. Again, I don't have that kind of knowledge of Tanakh to be able to make this kind of a statement. But from what I can recall, what I remember, that you don't find, we discussed this, if I'm not mistaken, we spoke about tabachim a number of times that appear in Tanakh, but the tabach, this kind of a, I guess you call it a steak dinner, whatever it is, that we did not find. And again, notice, Shmuel is doing everything to try to present the show in all kinds of ways. He's trying every strategy imaginable, every ploy, including a steak dinner. Why is the steak dinner? Why is he being feuded at the steak dinner? What is the nature of this, quote-unquote, rather royal barbecue? The idea, again, is to, shall we say, I would imagine, in a very convincing kind of way, indicate to him, he's about to become Melech. He's about to become king. And he's trying every single way imaginable to present this information to him. And interesting, but they have here, and that's also amazing to me, something else, but let me just first read these two kids in Chabed, here in Peretet. Yikashuel at Shaul ben Naro, Vayivayim Lishkata, Vayitin Lahem Akon Rosh HaKurim, Vayimak Shal Shemish, Vayom Shmuel HaTabach, Tznat Amana Shemataki Lach, Shemati Lach, Nisimotai Lach, Vayar HaTabach at Ashok Vyalea, Vayas Mbne Shaul, Vayom Yiniya Nishar Sim Lefanech Lechol, Kina Vayit Shemul Lecha Limor Haram Kavati, Vayochal Shaul Mishmuel Vayom Aru, Vayadu Mehababa Nair, Vayabem Shaul Alagad, Vayashkim Vayit Alon Hashem, Vayikashmuel Shaul Alagad, לאמור קומה והשלחך, והיום שמוע שמוע, וייסו שניהם הוא שמוע החוצה, הם יודעים את זה, היו שמוע למה שמוע, אמור למען, ויעבור לפנינו, ויעבור, ויעתה, אמור כיום, והשניחה, דבר דבר הלכים. So it's also amazing to me, שמוע had difficulty getting rid of this nar. Somehow this nar was like a leech. He was attached to Shaul HaMelech, לא הכל הדרך, and he has to tell him, listen, we're about to get involved in something very significant over here. Maybe you'll tell this chap to, shall we say, step aside. And hey, well, you're deep, because it looks like nothing's going to happen. They had a steak dinner, and now he's being escorted outside the city, and then, of course, Shaul is going to go on his merry way, go back home, keep him from the other come on, because there's nothing happened. And hey, well, you're deep, say it in, but some kavzayim, Shmuel has to tell Shaul, and more than now, we are all the fun, and we are more. We are time, okay, no, that's me, I'm going to look at. And then we have the beginning of Perikud, where Shmuel takes the Pach HaShemesh, we'll discuss this also in a few moments. Vayitzok HaRosho V'yishakeu, Chazal speak about different types of Nishikot that are found in Tanakh. And here Chazal speak of Nishika Shel Gedula. A person about to be anointed, to be appointed as a Melech, Vayishakeu, Haloki b'shacha Hashem ha'nachlatov b'magid. We spoke about this magid, we mentioned it before. V'lechicha yomi b'magid. And again, we have the three otzot that are going to be presented to Shaul HaMelech. And once again, why? Why the necessity for all these otzot? And as the Pasuk Vav indicates, v'shalcha alecha ruach Hashem, b'navita imam, he's unbelievable what Shmuel is telling Shaul. You're being metamorphosed, you're being transformed entirely. And I talked to the Shachera, you're a Melech, you're a Navi. And again, all this is to show you in Pasuk Zayin. Everything I tell you, for everything I will emerge from these otzot, asei lecha, asher tetzai yadecha, ki elokim imach. And again, a bit later, that's what happened. Pasuk Tet, I think it is, yes. Vayakam otos shichmol olech v'im shmuel, vayafoch elokim v'im acher, vayavol kol otos ele v'yom ahu, vayavol shem ha-gimatach, v'nechal l'vim v'kvato, v'atasam ala moach elokim v'yivabim v'tochan, v'yi kol yodo v'yivol shoshon, ויראו מיניהם דין דיבה, והיום העם איש אומר, מה זה היה לבקיש אגב שהוא מנביא? By the way, everyone knows that transformation has occurred, with the exception of one person, שאול המלך. Everyone is astounded, אגב שאול מנביא? ויען איש משם, והיום הוא בנייה ביהם, על כן יצא למשל, אגב שאול מנביא? ויחל מתנבוא ואיבוא הבמה, והיום הדוד שאול אליו, יתנענו עוד, אנה לאטר, והיום מבקש את התנות. ונראה כי אין מנה לא שבועה, לא נסיר, the unbelievable Arava, again, of Shaul HaMelech. When he's asked by his uncle, Dov Shaul, where did you go? Oh, I went to look for some donkeys, and we couldn't find them, so we decided to visit the Navi. Vayom Dov Shaul, Tagid Navi, Ma'am Alechem Shmuel, this is obviously something of great curiosity, what did the Navi tell you? Vayom Shaul HaDodo, Hagid Hagid Lanu Kinim Tzivat HaDodo. He told us that the donkeys had been found. V'edva HaMucha, Lo Yigid Lo Asher Amar Shmuel. It's amazing. It's absolutely astounding. What's even more fascinating, that this continues. Because after Shmuel, let me have an interlude here, which has to be discussed. Tzukim, Yudzayim, Bithet, Bithet, Kaf, Kafalif. Suddenly Shmuel gathers all the people, Elam Mitzrah, and we have, if you will, a kind of Musa Shmuz, Sichat Musar, that he gives them. And then we have Goralot. I mean, basically, what is he telling them? That Melech Hasim Aleinu, by the way, why is this necessary? We're already aware of the fact that Shaul has been appointed Melech. So, Mufi Abshach, it seems that the reason for these Sukkim, let me just read it for a second because I've been unfair, but I'm interested not so much in Sukkim here right now as in the other point I made, the Pasuk is Zayin. Vayasek Shmuel et ha'am el Hashem ha'mi ha'mitzvah, vayom l'avnei Yisrael, kol ma Hashem ha'lkei Yisrael anochi, ha'leti tishel mi'mitzayim, mo'atzil etchem mi'amitzvah, yinyan kol ha'mavachot ha'lochotim etchem, v'yatem ha'yom ma'astem ha'lokichem, השם הוא מושיע לכם בכל מרותיכם וצמרותיכם ואתם אמרו לו כי מלך תשים עלינו ויצא התייצאו את השם לשבתיכם ולאפיכם לא לשמור has not forgotten his position which was rather ironclad on the notion of appointing a king he is opposed to it but he had no choice השם gave approval gave his imprimatur therefore Shmuel relents ויקרין Shmuel what is happening now לכל שבטי ישראל וילחד שם בנימין ויקרין שם בנימין לשבותיו ותלחם משפחת המצרים, וילחם שאול בן קיש, ויבקשו ולא נמצא. What's happening here, there's a goral. Shmuel is doing a goral, a lottery, and this lottery, of course, is designed to once again indicate clearly whom the Melech should be, that is, of course, Shaul ben Kish, and this apparently is designed to impress Klal Yisrael, to show them, again, you cannot appoint a king without the approval of Klal Yisrael, and then Klal Yisrael building is giving their approval, to the Bigui Melech, and that's the Gomal. And after all this, Vayimachet Shaul ben Kish, Vayimakshu Velo Nitsa. He is nowhere to be found. Somehow he has a sense, of course, that this is really happening. I mean, they're after me. They're pursuing me for all ends. No matter what I am attempting to do, I simply cannot seem to escape. But Chazal, he is, shall we say, nowhere to be found. By the way, notice the language. This language is interesting. Vayimachet Shevet Yamin. We're talking about a goral. And the language of Vayi Lachel. Why is that language used? Vayi Lachel generally means, what does it mean in Tanakh? To capture. Generally a sense of capturing. Shaul literally is going to have to be captured. Vayi Lachel Shaul Ben Kish, Vayi Lachshu Volunza. Vayi Shalu Av Hashem, Havaud Halom Ish, Vayom Hashem, Hinehu Nechba El Hakelim. Rather well-known expression found often in Chazal, based on this passage here in Tanakh. Nechba el hakelim. Someone who is essentially so modest and so humble that he's hiding. Nechbaya rakelim. Vayarutzu vayikachu misham. By the way, one even has the impression that they have to, shall we say, apply a bit of pressure.
I mean, it's not sounding so positive.
One second, I'm going to discuss that. That's exactly what I'm getting to. Vayarutzu, it's not positive at all. Vayarutzu vayikachu misham. They literally had a, how shall I put it, schlep him out of his lair. By the way, this always reminds me, after this last passage that I just read, of Gimel, I'm sure I imagine it reminds you of that as well. Yosef. And I will in a moment draw an analogy. But Yosef, if you remember, after Yosef comes to the fore, through the Sa'al Mashkim, Vayishlach Paro, Vayikrat Yosef, Vayiritsu Menabor. Similar language to sound beginning in the case. I'm going to draw a number of analogies between the two personalities here, Yosef and Shaul. But there also Vayiritsu Menabor. And here as well, the language is, as the passage says, Vayirutsu, Vayikachu Misham. It's even more. And there, Vayiritsu means to actually rush him to the king. And here, Vayirutsu, Vayikachu. As I said, he had to be schlepped. Vayitase b'tocha ha'am, vayigba b'kol ha'am b'shichmo b'malo. Which of course reminds you immediately of the very beginning. Namely, in Perekeh, Pasuk Bet, where he's described, v'lo haya ben hen kish, Shaul, his name was, b'chur b'tov, v'enish v'nei sotov mimenu, b'shichmo b'malo gavah b'kol ha'am. And guess what? Everyone seems to know about it, with the exception of Shaul HaMelech. He's the only one who's unaware of his own personality traits, of his own character. The English Nasal Tommy Menu, the Pasuk testifies, Mishikmo Gamal Gavar Mikolam. And here again, we have Shaul emerging, Vayigvar Mikolam Mishikmo Gamal. Vayom Shmuel Alam, Kolam, Harita, Bet Hashem Bachar, Bo Hashem, Kien Kao, Vahalam, Vayomir Kolam, Vayomru, Yichyamach. It just continues a little bit. Vayidaber Shmuel Atam, Eid Mishpat Amducha, Vayitov HaSefer, Vayana Achonei Hashem, Vayishalach Shmuel Kalah, Vishal Beitov. Now, what should happen at this point? At this point, Shaul clearly has been anointed as king, by the way, a number of times. And Shaul has been given a fair degree of publicity in a number of different venues. One would expect at this point to emerge and to basically, shall we say, seize the position and do with it as he is supposed to do. The Gam Shaul Halach LeBeitov Gibata. He simply goes on, goes back home. Ki'ilu Shum Dalal LeKara. Now it's true. Vayalchul Imo HaChayil Asher Nagal Kiv Liban. But because of this unbelievable anava displayed by Shaul HaMelech, so then the pasuk, the last pasuk, is striking and tragic. Ubnei B'liyal Amru Ma Yoshi'en Zem. A gentleman who clearly has no leadership ability, no money goods, all anava. What kind of a leader is this going to be? Vayivzuhu. The pasuk says he was disgraced, degraded. They were mevazeh him. V'lo hiviyu lo mincha. Kanireh the practice was that a king would receive matanot, and he's subject to bizayon, and we have halachot. Mela shemachal kvodo, k'mo tamid hacham shemachal kvodo. So one would think his reaction should have been swift and clear. Vayehi k'macharish. Unbelievable. From beginning to end. This is almost where we were at the stand. It is so striking that Shaul reacts as he does, and I said that this was his Achilles heel. It's clear from the Parshanan Mikra, and clearly also from Chazal in many, many places. And there's no question that this Bizayon was absolutely, probably, the beginning of the end. Because he did not take the reins as he should have, therefore he actually suffered and ultimately lost the Malchut. Now I wanted to, as I said a moment ago, I saw in, this we discussed last week, we spoke about the Ramban, and the Ran in terms of the Malchut of Shaul, because it's a violation of the Pasuk by the Chiy, Lo Yasu Shem Yudam Chokei Ben Maglav, Ad Ki Aroshi Lo, Velo Yikat Amin. But I would like to now, I also mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, the Meiri last week. I think I mentioned it. Masechet Huriot. that he has also his own theory, different than the Ran. Whether we assume that somehow, where the Ran says that there's no contradiction to the possibility by Fi, why is the Shem Yehuda talking to my God? Because that's what he means from the moment that Yehuda takes the mouthful, then what is Superman? But prior to that, no one says that someone else did not come to the fore, and then others are in a different position on the matter. But I want to read you now something that I saw this week, and this is, to me, quite fascinating. In light of what I said to you before, perhaps you will be able to appreciate it. I found in someone who is a big mumche in the Yishei Mishmur, Rabbi Heshi Reichman, who is a chavrusa of mine. So his son is a rabbi in my yeshiva, Moshe Nechemya. So many years ago I learned chavrusa, and then he puts out the Svarim of Soloveitchik, and we actually have a few, I think, somewhere. So he referred me to a Yishei Mishmur, who's the son of the Abinezer, the son of the Sachachover, Abnormi Sachachov. Shem Yeshua was a classic sefer, Machshavno, and Tanakh, obviously, a lot of capitalistic elements found there. Not exactly my cup of tea, to be quite honest, as I said, no training in this matter. So from time to time I look at some stuff.
Let's be modest.
What?
Let's be modest by you.
I'm telling you the truth. Shem Yeshua, he makes the following statement. Actually, Xerox the whole thing. I'll just read you one little section. Basically, he's trying to find out the resolution to this question. Name of Leah Sushem Yudav Hotel Ben Magab. That's a clear attacha. The Ramban says over there that he violated the Sabbath as a king. And what's going on here? Shalom Alech being chosen as the first king. Vidivet, says the Shem Yishwar. Vine, Inyan Shnei HaMashichim. Le'atim, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. There are two Mashiachs, as well known. Nireh, the Mashiach ben Yosef to Dato, Lechalot Zaro Shal Amalek, Ulechene Gog Magog. He said the function of Mashiach ben Yosef, when Chazal is going to be killed, he's the first Mashiach, but precede Mashiach ben David. His function is, essentially, to eliminate Amalek, and he'll be involved in the so-called war of Gog Magog, what do they call that? Armageddon. And all the Nechavot essentially will be completed by him. Karmam Chazal, quotes that in Midrash, Ein Esav Nofel, El Bidei Baner Shel Rachel. The Esav is going to fall in the hands of the children of Rachel. V'achar Siduk, I'll skip it now, get rid of it. V'achar Siduk HaHister V'HaChoshech. Then after the murky clouds and darkness has been eliminated, Yair Oro Shalom Mashiach Ben David. The cult of Dato Tiyeh Rav Lamshif Dato Lukim Baratz. But Mashiach Ben David, his function is to get rid of all the evil, as it were, to clean the decks, clear the slates. And then Mashiach Ben David comes in for the, shall we say, finale, for the climax. As he says, Lamshif Dato Lukim Baratz. And then I'm skipping. And now he writes the following. Bidiveh. Ki Inyan Zeh Haitam Malchut Shaul Kodim Malchut David. This was the Malchut of Shaul before the Malchut of David. Va'akavana, she'Shaul yigmor ba'am nechavot, ka'asher hu haya mibanei asher Rachel. He's among the children of Rachel. He will take care of all the wars. U'kmo tu'da Mashiach ben Yosef. Ya'achar kach tofiya Malchut David. And then, David will appear on the scene. Dugmat Mashiach ben David la'atim, she'yeh inyano, his issue is, la'amshir gilu la'or ha'eloki, l'dor ben Amidash. Astounding, Shem Yishmur. And basically, they function as Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, Shaul ben David. And after Hashem chose Shaul, Nishevet Binyamin ben Rachel, because his function is that Amalek will fall before him, before David comes to the Kisei Melucha.
Don't we find that Rambam says that Mashiach David's job is also to part from Mechamas Hashem?
That's what it says in the Pasuk in Tanakh.
So that's why David
did not build the Beit HaMikdash. That's why it's the Vayomim and the Tanakh, that because he shed blood. But Kanireh, he somehow, again, I don't know the entire Shem Shmur, I don't know how he deals with those two kids.
He could mean the Malchut
of it, doesn't he? Yeah, that's what I understood. Yeah. It's very possible. That when he says Malchus Avim, he's Shlom HaMelech. Exactly, not that the Dabin HaMelech himself.
So Rav was talking about Mashiach.
Yeah, he's talking about being Mashiach the Karka for the Malchus Avim, which of course continues at the Mashiach Tzikim. But the idea is that preparing the Malchut Beit David. I'm just indicating, the reason why I feel that this is of a fascinating nature is because Chazal elsewhere talk about the following. So the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara says in Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph, we just read it here in Shmuel, so the Pasuk says, Vayikach Shmuel at Pach HaShemen Vayitzok Al Roshav Vayishakev Vayom Harov Kim Shachah Hashem. The problem is, if you remember, David and Shlomo, how is Hashem Moshech them? They were Nimshach, not the Pach, but rather the Keren. Let's take a look at the metaphor now. In Perek, Tesayin, Pasuk Gimel.
Is that Miyachim anyway?
Yes, we'll discuss that. It's not the Kula, you're asking well, that's a halachic issue. I don't think we're going to discuss that. Then we get into Bris Columbus. Very fascinating. I'm trying to avoid here. But there, if you look at the, what Pasuk Yud Bet says over there, Erech Tezayin, Yeter, the children of Yishai, passed before Shmuel, and Shmuel rejects each one. So then, are there any others? Oh, there's just one that he's the Ro'eh Matzor, he's the shepherd. Clearly you don't mean him. And of course, that's exactly whom he meant. In Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayishlach Leviel, Hu Adonai Yifei Inayim, Tzor Goli, Vayom Hashem Kum Shachel Kizehu. Vayikach Shmuel at Keren Hashem En. Now, he was Nimshach B'Keren. Not only was he Nimshach B'Keren, but also, Shlomo HaMelech was also Nimshach B'Keren. Take a look in Melachim, you have to find it now. Melachim Aleph should be the very beginning, as Melachim Aleph, but the Mitch Perek, that should be the very one. You have to find it. Should we begin? Perek Aleph, Pasuk. Number 10, thank you very much. There it is right there. Number 10, it says, Vayikach Tzedok HaKohen et Keren Hashem in Oel, Vayimshach Epsolah. In Chazal, you see this, there's a very famous discussion. So the Chazal, the Gemara, Zemar Megillah, Afidal, the famous Gemara. Gemara says, David Shlomo, Shenimshachu B'Keren, Nimshacha Malchutan. De Malchut remain. Shaul, and who else? It was Yehu, also was Nimshach B'Pach, Lo Nimshacha Malchutan. Somehow Keren Hashemen indicates something that has longevity, that endures. Masha'en Kein, Mishicha B'Pach, is Malchut Mikutat. Malchut that's truncated, that's short-lived. And again, the, shall we say, the analogy to the two Mashiachs that are drawn by Mishen Mishua. I just want to share with you...
Did Shmuel know that?
What? That's a good question, which needs to be explored. And again, the question is there any proof in the text whether he had knowledge of that? I just wanted to, yeah.
No, it's just a humorous, that from that kind of expression, Nafal B'Pach.
The question is whether that expression has any makor in Tanakh.
Probably not.
First of all, I would say that Pach is with a Chet,
yes,
as opposed to a Chof. Although people usually confuse it, so what?
Doesn't actually make
sense. I never said that. It's fine. There is a fascinating piece in Basic Haron, one of my favorite stories, obviously, of Rav Soloveitchik. And this is again Rav Soloveitchik's story would have to be read from cover to cover, and have to be absorbed asthmatically. That you still there that, of course, everyone thinks that is very. Presents you something like that. I think, I imagine you feel your way against it. Present you something like that. Maybe I should get into it. But, something else, I'll let you, I felt presenting you something like that. He has here an essay on Yaqub Banach. Actually, the essay really is on Machel Oleah. Kedai to read this. It is just Matok Midvash and Machel Tzufi. First, he contrasts the two personalities of Machel Oleah in terms of their character, and he has many Tzufi that describe this. Yeah, we're out of time, but I can't wait, so I have to be mashing a few minutes. And, the simple will wait for me. So, plus I'm always like this, Machel. There's a mitzvah to come on time.
Nothing is on.
What?
Not in Israel.
No, there is a mitzvah common time I heard from those who Shalzam never can get through chuppah. Masha'ayah katu ba'azbana, kiyem, alasof. But here I spoke to the Baal Simcha and told me, yes, I had time. I called him before. Anyway, so here you have Rachel Leah. There are two different details. I won't go to the whole, if you're interested, it's on page 63, and also about the page 75. Just analysis of Rachel Leah. But then, the Rav describes Yosef. And he goes to the different halamot of Yosef, and all that which happened in terms of the Kinah and Sinah, and what have you. Subsequently, we have some of the halamot come to realization. Yosef hu ha-shalit al ha-aretz, hu ha-mashvi l'chol ha-aretz. Vayavo achi Yosef, vayishtachu la-apayim ha-aretz. You will see the alumot of Yosef are obviously beginning to raise the Moshel in Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim Mizrach HaTichon, and they're all bound down to him. Clearly, a realization of v'inei tisubel alumot echeh, not a shechavel alumot echeh. A bit later, we'll go through some other events. Vayishtachu Yosef l'chalavot ha-shechol ha-aretz. And the second halom was apparently not completely realize, and Yosef begins to play a game with his brothers, which seems to be rather cruel, then the accusation of being Meraglia, and finally incarcerating Binyamin, the youngest child, and again that brings them to the, brings out, if you will, the best in his brothers. And then we have the subsequent events of Yehuda coming down, and the Rav discusses the Psukim. That whole interlude, which all the Rishonim talk about, Pashtanei Mikra, there in Perek Lamechet, I think it is, Perek Lamechet, the story of Tamar, which seems to be also completely, shall we say, left field. No connection with the previous chapter, and no connection with the following chapter. But of course, Elon Chom Adamri, at the end of that chapter ends with the birth of Peretz, of course mentioned in Gilad Ruth as well. And as what do we see? That there was a major struggle. That struggle comes to the fore in the beginning of Vayigash, Vayigash and Rabbi Yehuda, a struggle for Malchut, between whom and whom? The two protagonists are Yosef and Yehuda. Clearly they're struggling, they're fighting it out. Midrash has a very dramatic description of this struggle for Malchut, which is very telling. But at the end of the day, who is Zohar to Malchut? Not Yosef. Yosef, even of his own admission, says, Kilu Michya, Shlachani Elokim Nefechem. He's Malchut, Zohar, Malchut, Shah. Malchut Mikutat. It's only of a temporary nature. It's short-lived. The Midrash, actually, the beginning of Vayigash, calls the Psukim in Tehillim, the well-known Psukim. When do we say this? Ki hinei hamlochim no'adu avru yachda. Which day? Which day did we say it? I can never remember. Ki hinei hamlochim no'adu avru yachda. Kein maro, kein tamo, nivhalu nechpazu. Ra'ada achazat amsham chil kalyuda ruach kadim shamer leotzah shishkash shavan kinnarino v'yashem sakol. I'm trying to say the whole thing. It's going to be on Wednesday or Thursday. Yireh Elokeinu Elokim Michonen Alam Vaed, etc. etc. Anyway, so the midrash, and then possibly the man's taking, describes who are these malachim that are, shall we speak, going at each other. Ze Yosef Yehuda. Yosef Yehuda are the ones that are buying, and I forgot the exact beginning where he goes. Zen Malayad Ralza, Zen Malayad Ralza, each one is demonstrating tremendous anger. And meanwhile, on the sideline, who is observing all this? Ashvatim. The Shvatim are observing this power struggle between Yosef and Yehuda. The Havdil Melchalfi Abdullah. Oh, joking about politics. My good friend, my new parents. Anyway, I just can't handle what's going on here.
It's also mentioned, the whole fight is also mentioned in the Sefer Yasha.
That's right, that's correct. And great life. Here's a Sefer that Dr. Friedman is referring to, which is a question exactly whether the Sefer is described to Avinatan. Avinatan was a Sefer called Sefer Yashar. It's a halachic work, a very serious halachic work. Then there's another Sefer Yashar, which apparently, I'm not sure, some describe it to Avinatan, others describe it to others, but it's a series of Yidu Sheikh Hazal that are, you have to read it for the most swashbuckling exploits you can imagine. It's good to buy it just for them. You want to have swashbuckling exploits, you don't have to, someone just showed me one of my Talmidim today, just, I say every time I see something, hey, my role can't come on, a credit card. You can see movies on a credit card. So I love them. So there's one, I'm giving a shiur one day this week, and the fellow was busy on his cell phone. So I ban cell phones. No one can hear. I'll confiscate a cell phone if they have a cell phone. I can't take it out of anyone's pockets, obviously. Those of us may have that. But so can the cell phone. So what does he do? He's been on a cell phone, he's busy playing games. So we have all kinds of games on cell phones. I'm such an honor to myself, and all these matters. With Davonia Gadol, like Simchati Abdullah, whatever it may be.
Exactly.
So now he showed me today a car this size where you see movies on it. So let me give Sifa. So he said, Rabbi, now I can, you know, say all the shoes you like. Hope you have a great time. Not just like this. Anyway.
Why don't turn up?
What was that?
And you don't necessarily understand whether they're not right if they don't turn up.
Yes, I know why the door is going to be. I said that. What did I have to say though? Which way is it? No, but it's, the language is Ema Rao, Kain Tamao, Nidal, Nechazo. No, we are spectators, and we are watching the two gladiators at work. Yosef Yehuda. That's the Lash of the Midrash. Long Midrash. I never say this. Wesley? I think you're right.
How do you know that refers to?
It's a medrash, beginning of Vayigash.
For the left pasuk refers to?
I said the medrash interprets it. Medrash says that, I forgot the exact pasuk, Kini Amlochim, Hamnil Lachim, No Adu, Yosef Yehuda. Correct? Abu Yachda, Hey Marom, Kain Tamo, that's the Shvatim, we're watching on the sidelines. Who's going to emerge? I mean, when the smoke clears, who shall be the Melach? Who shall be the king? And obviously here we have, again, two sides, because we tell the Shvatim, whom do they want to be the Melech?
Monday, actually.
Monday, thank you. Monday. Okay, I'm sorry. It's good. We tell the Shvatim, whom do they want to be the Melech? It's very clear. You. And that's what Chazal say also, in the Vayeshev, the Vayeri Judah Neitachar. Horidu Midulato. After what happened, Yosef the soul, Yaakov clearly is quite upset. And of course they have to put the blame on someone, so they blame Yehuda. He's the one who should have demonstrated leadership, he did not do so. Masha'en came, it's clear Yaakov has his own choice. Yaakov's choice is obviously Yosef. And we see the Sfarim has a beautiful discussion of this in the beginning of the story of Ketanah Pasim as presented. That indicates what Yaakov's position was, that he wanted to give the Masorah over to Yosef, and that's what Ketanah Pasim demonstrated, symbolized that he was, leadership should be vested in him, that's why he's closest to Yosef. Okay, there are many proofs, this is a well-known issue. But I'm just saying that ultimately what happened was the Nishika did not go to Yosef. It went to Yehuda. Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda, Yaakov himself was forced to admit. Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda, Mechokim Be'Maglah. And in a similar vein, that's what's going on here. Here we have Nishika, Vayisha Keiru, on the part of Shmuel to Shaul, but it was Nishika Malchut, but of a temporary nature. It was the Mashiach Ben Yosef, of the Shem Shmuel, as opposed to the Mashiach Ben David, which of course ultimately is vested in Shem Yehuda. You take a look, this is really a classic essay, and Pastor Lechik has his own theory, which is also very fascinating, I may have mentioned also. I heard him say this a number of times, based on the Rambam, which we're talking, the Rambam contrasts two personalities. One, the Rambam calls, I see it when you teach Talmidim, you see it all the time. One is what the Rambam calls Chassid HaMeuleh. Chassid HaMeuleh is a person who is essentially, what do you call them today? Yelid, Tuv Yerushalayim. Or, in English, you have other expressions. Goody, Tuv Shoes. Or you have other expressions. I don't see too many of those for some reason. I'm not looking to have any antidote. I just see the other. So the other tikkun that Rav describes is what he calls Gibor Shem Moshe Benasha. The person who is subjected to, shall we say, a person who's subject, I never answered this often.
He does scream.
I don't answer this often probably every day. Not when I'm involved in yeshiva, it's sublord, that book of earth. People can't get me, they say, because of that. But at night time, people get me, Baruch Hashem. What was I about to say? Oh, yes, the other personality is, the truth is I'd rather talk to you than some of my family. Gibor Moshe Benasho. What's Moshe Benasho? A person who, shall we say, is full of passions, falls and falters and stumbles, and then ultimately has to pick himself up in his bootstraps and start all over again. So the question that Rambam poses in the morning, and Shmuel HaKadosh, primarily Shmuel HaKadosh, he asks this question. Krishna 2 is Prabhupada. To me, the answer is Poshut. Not even a suffix.
Yeah.
And the answer is not the Chosar Amura, not the goody, the goody two shoes. Goody two shoes.
You have to work for it.
Correct. Without Digiya, without Amal, the biggest Gedolim come from the wildest, and shall we say, individuals who really had to fight and had to struggle with themselves internally and externally. I don't know if you ever read, probably you did, but there's a autobiography that was written by one of the greatest Gedolim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He was a prolific writer, prolific. And he wrote Shutim and Chidushim and all kinds of other things that he was just prolific. He also wrote in many different areas. Again, he's not one of our salvation's favorite Gedolim as well, I must say. So all of a sudden I'm biased against him. So I have all the biases that I collected over the years. Hashem Shapal Hirsch and people undoubtedly know that are people of great stature, and but somehow he just had to make one comment, the Rav, and now we know it. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, everything, we held on to every word, every nuance, every neshima, every breath. And he once made a comment about Hashem Shapal Hirsch that he plays with words and it's all aesthetics and it's games and it's not real. That was enough to kill Hashem Shapal Hirsch, and that was very bad for me because for years I looked at Hashem Shapal Hirsch. And then, years later, when I went to Chinuch, I started looking. I said, well, there's such a nonsense here. Unbelievable things. And now they've published volumes and volumes of his Perushim, of letters. And I read a number of times, the 19 letters of Benaziel, an absolute wondrous work. It was wondrous. And I said to myself, why did the Rav somehow maneuver me in a different direction? By the way, the same thing with Maral Mikrav. I don't have any connection with Maral Mikrav. Why not? Our salvation once made a statement about Maral Mikrak, meeting my Isaac. And now we end up my involvement with Maral Mikrak. And only years later, I began to realize. I began to realize that Yesh Dvarim Begad, there's a lot there. Okay, most of it I don't understand, because the language is, he has his own philosophic, Kabbalistic language, which the Rav was not fond of. He held, he was neither a Mekulo nor trained in philosophy. Which is quite a sharp statement. But a sharp statement from Ram Gadol. So, okay, where am I here before now? Yaakov Emden. Yes, sir. Yaakov Emden has an autobiography. Read the autobiography. And that's why it's not publicized. And it was rarely published. The autobiography reveals things about someone in the course of his becoming a great Baal Chacham. The struggles they went through. I'm talking about Yitzharim. I'm talking about Yitzhar Hara.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. About someone of that stature. Mind-boggling.
He makes it.
What?
Somebody gives a name for him. You know himself.
Yeah, then the safer is, I have autobiography that he wrote about his early years. I'm talking about the formative years, his early years when he was a youngster and teenage years. The book was banned. He used to put in Kharan. And it was never really published. It was never published. It wasn't banned. It was just never published. And it was always, it was essentially, by the way, we can publicize it. Rabbi Yassin Kamenevsky is speaking here. The making of a golem. I'm Masoei Shabbos Parshas Sora. Tonight I'm here. Even though it's not directly addressing the topic, but he was addressing it. But it was direct or indirect. how do I get into this though? Old age. Oh yeah, so the fact is what I'm talking about the Rambam. So you have the two personalities. So that's all that he said, he applies that Rambam to Yosef and Yehuda. You know why Yosef was not Zochet to Malkut? Because Yosef was a person who did not avenge the sale, his own sale by his brothers. Yosef was the one who did not succumb to the wiles of Eshet Potiphar. Yosef was the one who, despite the fact that he was languishing in Egypt for years and didn't see his father, he was a personality who somehow was able to emerge from all this, and he's a chosin Yehuda, as our Sabbath described. Yehuda, by Yehuda, and then we have a statement of Yehuda. My bet second hour of Tachino, the Chisina Dama, the Chulin, the Kanoa Shredin, the Adel Altino, because of that, he's the one who became the Melech. The Melech is someone.
With Tama as well.
Correct.
Yosef also had a
Zed Kanadi, more than anything else with Tamar. Why?
Yosef, nah, there wasn't things
of not so good. Rashi calls it Midrash, Midrash Chazal. But overall, again, the overall picture of things, the two personalities, Asa Lejit felt that he was the Chassid Mule, Yehuda was the one, Shem Moshe ben Asho, and a melech can only be a successful melech in Moshe ben Asho. He went into a long arichut. Now melech has to be with the people, has to understand the people, has to be able to relate to everyday life, the different hapatol that people undergo. He has to understand the weaknesses of the human being, the foibles of the human being, the frailty. Thy name is human. Kachamah, that's what the bar said. Bekitzur. So, I'm sorry?
Which play was that?
That's clear. I learned Shakespeare with you. My father, Sean, we learned Shakespeare.
You want to know which play it was?
What?
Right.
You tell me. You're an Englishman. I can't tell it to you, but it doesn't matter. Sure. You know what I tell the Chabin Mashiach? Tomorrow you tell me. What are they doing? These Chachamim? You think they have
Google?
They go to Instagram. In 2 seconds, they have everything.
Google.
I learned that also. Google
books before. There were books about that we had.
They thought it was a Google called Google. They asked them all the shadows. They asked the Google. So I asked I was so innocent. So I asked a very chashur person in the yeshiva. Maybe I don't know who this Google is. He said, that's why Yehuda becomes Melech. Because Yehuda faltered and fell and stumbled. Yossi did not. He was not. So I maintain the same by Shaul. And this Rasol does not say, but I want to extrapolate from this whole analysis to here as well. Look how Shaul is described. Gavoah, Shikho, Vanala. Bachur, ain't told me then. His name is Kalba. Anadash, ain't come home. And he basically made one mistake. That we'll discuss in this session.
But he's not a leader.
What? I agree. There's a lack of leadership. That's clear. Now, Rav Ah said it was not Matin. But in terms of Shem Shmuel, the analogy that he drew between the two Mashiach.
The way he pursued Ophiuch wasn't quite normal either.
That also is indicating the case. That's great. I'm going to discuss that also. That needs a lot of attention. That is probably correct. Because we wrote Abitamuto. Somehow, but that I believe is what Shem Shmuel is all about. I mean, that analogy, and I see it also in our salvage. Okay, please end there. I see it's gone past this man. I'm probably going to stop Perikid Aleph, but I'm not going to do it next week. I can't do it next week. I can't give a shir because Himmelstein is having a bar mitzvah, and I have to be there for Hashem, but it's not in the neighborhood. So, well, I thought it would be in the neighborhood. It is in the neighborhood, but it's not in the neighborhood. I can't be late, he told me, since I'm speaking there. Even though I told him I could be late, it's not a problem. But okay, so therefore I'm not getting to shoot next week. That's next Thursday. And then I'm leaving town. I didn't realize I'm leaving so soon. Hello. Okay, next Thursday is.
We have 3 weeks now.
Sorry, first.
Yeah.
Less than 3 weeks.
We seem to have. Oh. Yeah. and you survived very well without me. Probably better than I am here. Okay, the next one is. That Thursday won't be here. Now, the problem is that the following Thursday I'm leaving. I'm leaving that night. Thursday night, the Chutzar.
Right, December 1st.
Well, I can still give it for you guys.
I think it's possible, but it may be difficult for me if I'm supposed to meet two people. And then the following Thursday also will be here, so it won't be till the Thursday after that, which is due to the other. But, no, it's not coming. I should go for 3 months. That's what you're December 15th is what it is, due to the Kislev. Because I believe that I helped to.
Can I just ask you? You said something about we see the transfer of power from Shmuel to Shaul. But we don't. There isn't a real. Shmuel's in power even throughout the reign of Shaul. He doesn't really give up power until David comes.
But still, the Vi Chazal, why are we that's what my nephew said? Ain't Malchus, got the Chavitah. Still, there is. The Malchus is somehow less than Shmuel. That's the assumption. But I'm saying, Shmuel still continues to maintain. And by the way, that's also part of the another of Shaul HaMelech. That somehow Shmuel still has to be involved because he's doing something different.
He merits his rabbi.
What?
He merits his rabbi.
That's right.
ask you, I mean, on your most recent about the equipment.